May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So, I would really like to preach a pastoral sermon to you this morning on how Jesus comforts us and provides words of hope. Just our luck, that's not what we have today in today's gospel. Jesus does not seemingly provide us comfort or much words of hope. This morning, Jesus' words are harsh and critical. And I could try to slog my way through this gospel passage, but I think this morning I'd like to address just one of these harsh statements that Jesus says. And it's the last one, the one he addresses to the crowds. And he says, "You hypocrites, hypocrites, why can you not interpret the present times? Why do you not know how to interpret the present times?" I want to take this statement and maybe present it in a different light, because I do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ does have good news for us to hear. And I think we need to maybe find where there is hope in Jesus' message this morning. So this statement that he says to the crowds that have been following him from some long time, he's working his way around Galilee, he's actually set his face to Jerusalem, he's heading south, these people are following him, and he says to them, "You know how to interpret the weather, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. That is hypocritical. You are hypocrites." If you take that statement and think about it just for a little bit, it doesn't make much sense. Just because I can interpret one thing doesn't mean that I can interpret anything and everything. Just because I know when the wind comes from the south across the Sinai Desert, we're going to get a heat wave here in Galilee. Just because I know that when there are clouds out over the Mediterranean Sea, they're going to blow west and we're going to get rain. Just because I know how to interpret the weather doesn't mean that I know how to interpret the coming of the kingdom of God or the coming of the Messiah. These are the present times that Jesus is talking about. It doesn't make me a hypocrite. It just makes me limited in what I can interpret, right? So why does Jesus call these followers, these crowds around him, hypocrites? It can only be, in my opinion, because these people are treating the coming of the Messiah in the same way that they treat the weather. And how do they treat the weather? They are absolutely confident. Wind from the south, going to be hot. Wind from the west, going to be rain. They are so sure of their weather predictions. And you know what? They can be confident because they're right. These weather patterns mean exactly what the people interpret them to mean. You can be pretty sure of these things. And I think Jesus is saying, they have the same attitude about the coming of the Messiah. The prophets, particularly the prophet Isaiah, lays out quite explicitly what signs you're going to see when the Messiah is near. The hungry will be fed, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cured, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised, and the poor will have good news proclaimed to them. These are the signs. And the people who have heard these prophecies repeatedly throughout their lives know. You see these signs? No. The Messiah is on his way. And then here comes Jesus making these signs manifest in his ministry right in front of their eyes. And what do? Nothing. They don't react as you would expect they would in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And that failure, that confidence in knowing what the signs are and then failure to act on is what's making them hypocrites. Now, I think Jesus' words are true just for his crowds 2,000 years ago as they are for the crowds of us here today. I think all of us may be a little hypocritical in this regard. You're a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite. We all are because we know what the coming of the kingdom of God looks like. We have faith that Jesus brought the kingdom of God with him and that the kingdom of God is here in this place now. We have seen people whose eyes have been opened to the truth of God, people who have been healed in so many ways, in mind, body, and spirit. We've seen new life rise up in places where there's previously only been death. And we've seen people in desperate need for hope be filled with goodness. We've seen these signs. And yet, for the most part, we sit on our butts and presume that it's par for the course. We're not moved. I'll use an example from my own life. Before I came to St. Mary's, at my previous church, St. John's in Charlestown, I had a parishioner, and I'll call her Mary, who was moving from her home into an assisted living facility. And Mary was not happy about this. She railed against this move. She did not want to leave her home. And she complained bitterly about this. She was so angry. She complained to me. She complained to her daughters. She complained to anyone who could listen. And when the date started coming for her to have this move, she got angrier and angrier. And this is one of the blessings of being a pastor. I don't have to become enmeshed entirely in everybody's issues. So the day of the move, I took a step back and let her family deal with this transition. And I visited Mary within the week after she had moved to her new place at this assisted living facility. And when I saw Mary, she was a different woman. She was smiling. She was happy. She said, "Oh, Michael, come on in, come on in. I am so happy here. I've made so many new friends. I'm fitting into the schedule here. This is a great place. I'm so thankful that this had happened." And I'm thinking to myself, bravo, Mary. I mean, in my head, I'm saying, well, I'm so glad that you found peace with this because, you know, this move was going to happen whether you wanted to or not. And this is great. So we said some prayers, a thanksgiving for a good transition. I gave her some more advice, and then I went on my way to my next pastoral visits that day. And I was completely oblivious to what I had witnessed. Here was a woman who had such a profound transformation take place in her heart and her mind, to go from such opposition and such anger, such conflict and division, not only within herself, but within her family, with her daughters. And I did not see any of that. I didn't even glimpse any of the reconciliation that had been effected between her and her daughters. I did not see the presence of God moving her in an extraordinary way to become at home in these new surroundings. I saw it as just normal. You've got to take this move. You either accept it or you don't, and I'm glad you did. I can be up here every Sunday and preach about new life and transformation, and yet when I see it with my own eyes right in front of me, I'm not blown away. I'm not moved. I don't become closer to God. In that moment, that was my hypocrisy. The kingdom of God, when you see it, should rock your very foundation. It should move you to repent, to turn back to God, to become closer to the divinity that you see right in front of you. And this woman had been changed. God was present there. That was the kingdom being established. And in that moment, I was sitting on my ass, not doing enough. That, I think, is actually a bit of hope in the gospel today. Jesus is saying, no, you don't have to be hypocrites. You know it when you see it. You know new life. You know healing. You know the signs of the kingdom of God. If you truly believe the kingdom is here now, that God is transforming our lives at every moment, then act like it. And God is. Amen.